Tom Carkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, partly cloudy skies at least to start, got a chance for some showers and maybe scattered thunderstorms. We'll have a high near 80 degrees. Kenosha right now, 67, 71 in Burlington, 72 Milwaukee, 68 in Racine. The recent flooding in Burlington has opened the door to revisit consolidated dispatch for the city, rejected when first presented years ago, but now with leadership aware of how it can work, given the Racine County Communications Center took over city 911 dispatching duties for several days. It was an almost 90-minute segment of the Burlington Council's Committee of the Whole last night, in which Administrator Karina Walter said the timing is right, given it could be $250,000 to get the city's dispatch facility back into operational status. County Executive Chief of Staff M.T. Boyle told the council she wasn't making a sales pitch, but the initial estimate to join could be upwards of $195,000.
But all these numbers that we might bring up or you question or ask about are based will be based on negotiations, discussions, and also the agreement of all the other member communities. But just to help you make a decision, we did put together some preliminary numbers for you, and there's a timeline. Right now, we're currently still dispatching for you, and moving forward, we'll just have to decide how that all works out.
Burlington Police Chief Mark Anderson does not think consolidated dispatch is a good idea due to losing five people, and we said has a lot of expertise.
Why I said this is going to be a difficult decision to have is I have viewed and always have viewed the dispatchers, and I hope to continue to view the Burlington dispatchers as an integral part of what we do when we provide the city police services. If we no longer have 24/7 dispatchers and somebody inside this building, are we ready to have a city where the building closes? How will we ensure that somebody who needs emergency police services gets those in a timely fashion?
Alderman Todd Baum has suggested the pros and cons are worthy of further investigation.
I agree that the PD should be open 24/7. I think it should be a safe haven. In the past, we've promoted it as a safe place to do transactions, if you can do something on buy-sell trade or whatever. So I think those are all good reasons. I don't know that if we want that, it means dispatch necessarily has to be here. And the fact that representatives from the rescue squad and fire department are supporting county dispatch because they think it's faster or better is something I really want to look hard at and understand better.
Administration's going to continue talking to the county and doing their fact-finding for a future meeting about consolidated dispatch with the council. Meanwhile, last month's flooding in Burlington resulting in close to $1.7 million worth of damage based on documentation, and with FEMA teams still putting together information that could lead to federal disaster help. During that same Committee of the Whole meeting, Administrator Karina Walters noted the pending check of Echo Lake Dam appears to suggest it came through okay. As for insurance, Walters noting the city has $100,000 coverage on water sewer backup for the main building and the basement flooding they incurred with a $1,000 deductible, which leaves an obvious gap, she said, on the total, bigger without any outside help.
Obviously coinciding with all of the major infrastructure purchases that the city council will have to be determining on what we allocate dollars for is how we're going to be paying for that, right? And more than likely that will, the choices are our general fund, but our general fund doesn't necessarily have the dollars to support that if our general fund has approximately $350,000 in it. Or the other opportunity is bonding.
Alderman Tom Voss suggested a minor or substantial tax increase may be coming if they have to approve a bonding issue to cover the gap, and the public needs to be aware of that possibility. Donations from several businesses, including Racine's S.C. Johnson, with $100,000 helping the American Red Cross to cover about half the cost of providing services to the victims of the recent flooding. That check for $100,000 going to the Red Cross from Jim Ladwig, Director of Global Community Affairs for SCJ, during a presentation. 26th year of National Night Out in the Racine area. It was kicked off in the 1500 block of North Wisconsin Street by members of public safety, government, faith-based community groups, and also members of the community. Comments offered against the backdrop of the police department's rather large and impressive mobile command unit. Neighborhood Watch leader Charlie French says it is always an impressive showing in the Racine area, and that has helped in the fight against crime.
I've been blessed and privileged to work for Racine Neighborhood Watch. This month will mark my 20th year. And I can tell you that in those 20 years, we've experienced a lot of different things going on in our neighborhoods, in this community. Working with law enforcement, working with the neighbors, working with the community it's been phenomenal. We've taken neighborhoods, and when we say we've revitalized them or we've changed them, we've done that, and we've seen the improvements.
We see Mayor Dennis Weiser saying that no one can stop us from enjoying our community if we work together and stand together to keep the bad influences out. National Night Out activities also taking place at the Mount Pleasant COP House, Kenosha's Boys and Girls Club, and at Lincoln Park, as well as the Twin Lakes Police Department in western Kenosha County. The NCAA has concluded an independent review of compliance issues in the University of Wisconsin Parkside Athletic Department based on the school's self-reporting of an ineligible student-athlete, and the Office of Enforcement classified 9 violations over a 4-year period as secondary in nature, no further investigation but changes in procedures and oversight. Parkside hiring the compliance group for an independent audit of all the current student-athletes from their first eligibility to compete and found up to 14 potential violations over the past 4 years on amateurism certification, academic certification, and seasons of competition. The NCAA noted that systems for monitoring compliance at Parkside were lacking, but the university has undertaken multiple in-depth reviews of compliance systems and has implemented meaningful corrective measures. A new gazebo now formally graces the open space at the south end of Pershing Park Drive on Racine's lakefront, thanks to a donation from the Kiwanis Club of Racine. There was a brief ribbon-cutting ceremony held last evening for the structure. It's part of the overall transformation of Samuel Myers Park. Thanks to Dr. Julie Kinzelman, the Racine Health Department's lab director and water quality specialist, work at the park has included creating a wetland, removing invasive species, as well as planting some 40,000 native plants and more than 100 trees, all to prevent stormwater runoff from getting into Lake Michigan.
That's what Kiwanis is all about, is giving back to the local community and international, saving children, helping them. And so we thought this would be a wonderful park donate a gazebo to. That's how it started.
That's local Kiwanis Club President Gary Siekman talking about their $25,000 donation for the gazebo. Speaking of money, somebody purchased a Mega Millions lottery ticket in Pleasant Prairie recently and came up with $1 million because the ticket purchased at the BP gas station on 120th Avenue matched all 5 of the numbers, just not the Mega Ball, in the drawing last Friday. So the winner has 180 days in which to claim the prize at the lottery headquarters in Madison. Racine County awarded a grant for nearly $1 million over the next 5 years by the Medical College of Wisconsin. WRJN's Janet Hoff says this is to expand on work already underway for improving behavioral health outcomes for the children in the Racine area.
The funding is the second phase of an 8-year grant program totaling about $1.5 million. C2MH and its community partners received initial funding last June for Phase 1, which consisted of a year of learning and planning. The plans include several targeted strategies aimed at improving children's social-emotional health and development, which will be measured largely through student surveys within the Racine Unified School District. The project is being funded by the Advancing a Healthier Wisconsin Endowment at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
An update to the Burlington Council on their downtown strategic initiative from Racine County Economic Development Corporation Executive Director Jenny Trick last night, including a sidetrack question about Foxconn. Question offered somewhat tongue-in-cheek was, how close were we in the running to get Foxconn?
I love this guy, right? Yeah, really close. That's right. Had it not been that flood, they would have been here, right?
Should have come in spite of.
Yeah, I thought maybe you were going to ask me to pitch this and just answer any questions you might have about the project.
After laughing off the actual response, Trick indicated Foxconn will have a domino effect in other areas, pointing out the company project is an example, though, of being ready for a business opportunity.
I'm pleased that you're looking at expanding your BMOP, because really what we want to encourage all of our communities to make sure that you have space for businesses and that how-to guide is ready and ready to go, so that when you are met with investment opportunities, you are ready to deliver an option to meet their needs.
Nobody pressing Trick any further on Foxconn. She called it a huge win for Wisconsin, praising the leadership of Governor Walker. WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscasts in it on the local news section and throughout the day at WRJN News. That is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.